Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One of my favorite books of all time is The Lord of the Rings by J.R.R. Tolkien. Saruman the White was a wizard in that book, and both he and Gandalf the Grey had been sent with the mission of defying the evil Sauron's power and moving elves and men and all living things of goodwill to do valiant deeds. But while Gandalf would have no ties and no allegiances save those who sent them, Saruman, on the other hand, changed his loyalty and preferred his own design. He tries to use the power of the ring to do evil in the world, and his betrayal becomes clear when he declares himself Saruman the Wise, the Ringmaker, the One of Many Colors. See, like I said earlier, he wore white. He was referred to as Sauron the White. And Saruman, that white represented the purity of his intentions. But as his intentions changed, as his allegiance changed, even his clothing changed color. His voice, which was one of his greatest gifts of all, destined to speak words of wisdom to people, it even changed in its tone and the words that he said. "I did not expect you to show wisdom even in your own behalf," he says to Gandalf, "but I gave you the choice of aiding me willingly, and so saving yourself much trouble and pain." He betrays, and he tempts others to also betray. But Gandalf refuses. Gandalf's loyalty was tested, and through it all, he made the right choice and remained loyal to his mission. But this feeling of betrayal, this misplaced trust that he had in his friend Saruman, almost cost him his life. Friends, have you ever trusted someone or something only to have that trust be broken? Misplaced trust can be a very hurtful thing. In our Old Testament reading today, Isaiah is chastising the Israelites for doing just this. Instead of putting their faith and trust in their God where it should have been, they trusted instead in idols. Isaiah reminds them that their God is the Lord of heaven and earth. He sits above the circle of the earth and stretches out the heavens like a curtain. God not only rules the earth and everything in it, He in fact created the earth and everything in it. Everything is under our God's power and control. Isaiah reminds the Israelites of this when he says, "He brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness." This emptiness is the same emptiness that the Spirit of the Lord hovered over just prior to the creation. Our God created out of emptiness. He created out of nothing and has the power then to return any portion of His creation back to nothing if He chooses. We can get obsessed with power and authority and all the things in this world that we think give us power and authority. We pursue money because we believe that money, in fact, equals power. In a 1963 comic strip, The Wizard of Id, author Johnny Hart made a parody of the Golden Rule from Scripture. And in the comic strip, you had a king talking to his kingdom, and he telling everybody in his kingdom that they should all subscribe to the Golden Rule. The next scene is two peasants talking, and the one peasant leans over to the other and says, "What's the Golden Rule?" And the peasant replies, "He who has the gold makes the rule." In our consumer age, we believe that the more we have in terms of money and possessions, the more power and authority we have. Consequently, this leads us to put a great deal of trust in those possessions and the power we believe that we get from them. But Isaiah, in his words in our lesson today, crushes this notion. He shows that nothing in this world is so exalted that our God cannot return it to nothingness. Whatever we think we are, however powerful, however influential we think we might be, a simple breath of God sends us withering. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely are they sown. Scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when He blows on them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. The power of man is short-lived. The achievements, the accolades that we receive in this life are gone in less of a blink of an eye of our God. And our God is equal to none. Our God led each and every one of the stars into the sky as a general leads his troops into battle. He has called all the stars by name and left none behind. Lift your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name. And yet when we look to ourselves, when we put our trust and our faith in ourselves and of the things of this world, we are continually let down. We feel abandoned sometimes by this all-powerful God, and so we continue to try to do things on our own. We cannot believe that the God who is powerful enough to march the stars into the heavens could possibly concern himself with us being so small and insignificant. As Isaiah tells us, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Now, I got to be honest to you, when the first time I read this through as I was preparing, I read it, and in the context of all that Isaiah is saying, I thought, that really just doesn't make me feel good. God is powerful. God brought everything into creation, but he's so unsearchable and unknowable to me. How is that possibly a comfort? But then when we look at this from a faithful, from a trusting perspective, it is comforting. Our God made the world and everything in it. He is patient with us and does not turn his righteous anger toward us like he should. Just as Isaiah was there to draw Israel back into good service to their God, we too need to be reminded that we should be in service to our God. The benefits of trusting our God are immeasurable. Our God does not faint. He does not grow weary. He is here for us, watching over us, ordering and directing our lives. But this ordering and directing can only come if we allow it to, by trusting and having faith in him. This means we must be okay with his timing. We need to be okay with the fact that his understanding is unsearchable. You see, God does not smite us. He does not smite the evil in this world so that all might have time and opportunity to repent and be reconciled to him by the blood of his Son. God's timing is perfect, and it is so in his way. When we realize this, when we fully trust in him, God sustains us. He gives us power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. The world does not understand this about our God. He does the opposite of what we think he should. He lifts up the lowly. He takes the ones that the world sees as weak and powerless, and he turns things upside down by making them strong and mighty. The most perfect example we have of this is Jesus Christ himself. You see, Israel was expecting a king, a conqueror to come and to save them from all of their oppressors. And when Jesus began to do miracles, the people expected more and more from him. In our gospel reading today, we see that while Jesus was healing the sick and casting out demons, the whole city was gathered together at the door. Each city was like this. Every time Jesus would do a miracle, people would knock down his door to have him do more and more. In fact, John tells us in his gospel in the 6th chapter that after Jesus had fed the 5,000, he had to retire to a mountaintop alone, because he knew that the people were going to come and try to force him to be an earthly king. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, should not have to die. That's the wisdom of the world, especially a lowly death like that on a cross. But in that death and his resurrection, Christ showed his true power. This doesn't make sense to us. We don't understand how God can die for his creation. Gods aren't supposed to die. Gods are supposed to demand sacrifices. Gods are supposed to sacrifice their believers for their own means, for their own ends. Greek mythology and other mythology is filled with examples such as these. Gods don't sacrifice themselves for their creation. But our God, the one God, the true God, the only God, did. And this one fact makes all the difference in the world to those who have faith in this. It is precisely in the cross that our God shows His true strength. It is not strength as the world sees it, as even Isaiah tells us that men in their youth, men when they're supposed to be at their strongest, will still grow faint and still become weary. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. We who have faith, we who wait, who trust, who long for our Lord, these are the ones that God will strengthen. We will be sustained through all the troubles and the trials of this world. And since our God has power and authority over all things, nothing can take us away from Him. To be sure, we can turn our backs on our faith and the way that we live and how we act and the fact that we can kick the Holy Spirit out of our lives through lack of faith. But no one can take a faithful one out of the hands of our God. No one can take us away from our God. Jesus Himself teaches us this in John chapter 10. Jesus is the Good Shepherd, and as such He says, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of My hand. My Father who has given them to Me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Our God is the source of all of our strength. Our reliance upon Him for that strength and Him alone allows us to receive that gift and to use it for His glory. Isaiah tells us that they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not grow faint. When we trust in our God, He does not let us down. When we rely on Him for all things in this life and the next, when we seek His cover and protection during times of trouble, only then do we truly see Him as our God. And when we do this, He gives us the power and the strength to see any task through to completion. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. This often quoted verse from Philippians 4 is perfect for highlighting just what our God gives us. It doesn't say I can do most things. It doesn't say I can do many things. It doesn't even say I can do a few things. No, it says I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. The word here in the original language means absolutely everything. It is all-encompassing. Sometimes in this life, however, our faith and our trust in God will lead to rejection by others. We can lose family or even friends over our reliance upon God and His word to order and direct us, because they stand in direct opposition to what the world tells us we should do. Sometimes we will need His strength to be able to stay true to the things in His word and not the things of the world. Just as Gandalf lost an old and trusted friend in order to stay true to his mission, we may find ourselves in similar situations. Evil seeks to take over our world just like it did the fictional world of Middle-earth. Fortunately for us, we don't have to depend on a band of misfits, a fellowship, if you will, to destroy a ring to gain salvation. No, in our world, in the real world, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, has already achieved our victory. He has triumphed over sin, death, and the devil. So it is with Him and Him alone that we put our faith and our trust. And this is not misplaced trust, as He will be with us to keep us strong through our journey. But this will be a hard journey. It will not be easy, but He will be there to help us on the path. For as St. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy, we live in a time where people do not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears and accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. We don't trust the words of the teachers simply because they make us feel okay about ourselves. We don't trust the words of a teacher who make us feel okay with the sin that we commit. No, friends, it takes strength to listen to someone who calls sin, sin. It takes strength to listen to someone who has no problem calling evil, evil. It takes strength to take God's law and apply it to each and every one of us, to us personally, to see how far we have actually fallen from His original intention for His creation. And it takes strength and trust to know that even though we have fallen, that we are reconciled, that God has reconciled us to Himself through the blood of His Son. And that obedience that Christ showed on this earth is given to us in our baptisms. But we cannot have this strength and this trust on our own. It only comes from our God, just as all good things come from Him. So my prayer for you, my prayer for myself, my prayer for all of God's creation is that we would have the courage to receive this gift, to use it for His purposes, and that we'd have the courage to surround ourselves not with people who love the things of this world, but to surround ourselves with people that uphold, uplift, sustain, and strengthen that faith and that strength that we have. May God grant this petition and uplift and sustain us all until He calls us home in eternal glory. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.